Hey, friends. Welcome to the Courage Queen podcast. Do you want to have more confidence and courage in your life? Do you often question if you're on the right path? Maybe you're hoping somebody drops off a step-by-step guide for success. Do you wake up ambitious and hopeful, but become fearful and frustrated not knowing where to begin? Another year has gone by and you feel like nothing has changed. Trust me, I've been there. I'm Justine, and like many of you, I'm a young professional with big dreams. I often felt unworthy and incapable, wishing I had the clarity and the peace in the unknown. I wanted to be confident in my abilities and live life with more impact, but I kept fearing I wasn't living out my full potential. It wasn't until I started trusting God, pressing into life's hard moments, I was standing in the way of my breakthrough. And in this podcast, you're going to find ways to increase your confidence, grow your faith, and simply fear less. The good news is you're here, and courage starts with showing up. Hey there. I'm so glad that you are taking some intentional time to spend diving into your own personal development and growing your faith. I'm coming at you today with an episode about something I think we all at some level, at some time, maybe many times throughout your lifetime, maybe even right now, have experienced or said, which is saying things like, if it's meant to be, if it's meant to be. Now, if it's meant to be is not a biblical principle. It's kind of this hollow mantra that gives us permission to passively play with God as opposed to pursuing our assignment. How many times have you said, if it's meant to be? What about your prayer life saying, if it's meant to be, God, would you blank? If it's meant to be, God, would you allow blank? If it's meant to be, God, would you bless blank? But the enemy wants you to stay in a place of waiting for the right time, delaying to become who you were meant to be, waiting in comfort. See, waiting is one of those misleading words. Waiting for perfection, waiting for perfect timing. It's the arrogant assumption that God will give you tomorrow what he asks you to do today. And so maybe there's something that you've been putting off for a really long time. Maybe you keep making excuses about, you know, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. But maybe we need to actually dive into what waiting upon the Lord actually means. According to Isaiah 40:31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Wait is actually an action word. Other translations say, those that trust, those that hope, those that look for him. So what if wait was really meant to align? What if wait was get prepared so that you give God something to bless? Because God can't bless steps that we never take. He can't bless a mission that we never start. He can't bless a business that you're afraid to begin. And he's certainly not going to get, you know, in the way of blessing a dream that we never deploy. So the circumstances, although they're never perfect, we have to remember that perfectionism, getting ready to get ready, is not a friend of yours. It does not benefit you in any way. Perfectionism is not the obsession that is benefiting our future self. So we need to start taking those active steps of faith before we're ready. It's the ultimate faith step. The faith steps that are the kind of steps that God not only orders, but he prioritizes, that he fast tracks. When we first surrender and we say, not if it's meant to be, but we say, God, I'm boldly declaring. You know, Mark Batterson talks about in his book, I believe it's his Kazone book that I was reading, gosh, going on 15 years now, a book that totally changed my life. I'll link it in the show notes. But he talks about how God honors our bold prayers and the importance of stepping out in boldness and this whole concept of not saying if it's meant to be, not saying if it's your will, truly stepping out and saying, God, my heart is right with you. My motives are pure, fully surrendering and saying, God, bless me in this direction because it's a direction that you've called me to. Because your self-image is intact, because you know who you are and whose you are. And you know specifically because you're spending time in God's word, so you know exactly what he's called you to. And so I just pray today, and I'm just going to say this, God, help us to not despise the small beginnings, the day one of our 200-page story. In Zechariah, it says, do not despise small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. It does not say the Lord rejoices when we think about doing the work. The Lord rejoices when we think about what we're going to do. The Lord rejoices when we wait for the perfect time. No, it says that the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, which is why we do not despise these small beginnings. So Lord, I pray that you would detox us of procrastination and perfectionism. We have everything we need to begin and to thrive. It's just a decision, and it's just an act and a step in faith, an act of obedience. Help us to not be disobedient and pushing along and procrastinating and having this arrogant assumption that you will give us tomorrow what you've asked us to do today. And so as we go forth in our day today, we really need to think about, what has God asked me to do? How has God asked me to step out in courage? Because if we want to see miracles, if we want to expect more and believe bigger, which I really believe is the recipe for miracles, believing bigger, having a higher expectancy, that's the breeding ground for miracles. I believe that the miracles that I've witnessed and been a part of that God has used in my life have been a recipe of me believing bigger and having a higher expectancy. So increasing my faith, believing without limits, boldly and unapologetically going forth and boldly praying about what it is that I need and truly believing that God's going to deliver it. And in general, I think the other thing is in order to believe bigger, we have to have incredible self-image because when used properly, we are a weapon. We're beautiful but deadly. We're a threat to the enemy by being the light that drives out darkness. When we step out, when we believe in that beauty, we were built to destroy what the enemy is trying to attack us with.
Your enemy makes it personal because he knows the things that bother you most, the things that trigger you the most, the things that have hurt you the most. So keep that in mind.
The enemy wants us to live timidly. Going back to this again, like the enemy wants us to sit in comfort. He wants us to live timidly. He wants us to see ourselves as victims, sitting in victimhood of our story or the things that have happened to us. Knowing that we are vulnerable, he wants us to stay in this vulnerability as if we're like being hunted, as if something could take us out at any time because, you know, it's one thing after the other. But we have a reason to expect more because God is the king of suddenlies. He's always sending us what we need. But did you notice, you know, if we look into Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read the Message version, which I really love this. And it says, God can do anything far more than we could ever imagine or guess or request in our wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. See, expectancy, it takes courage to expect. We have to press through disappointment. We have to believe that God has a miraculous miracle for us, that he's using us through incredible means. We have to commit to that optimistic, expectant attitude, and it has to come from within. We can't pray safe prayers anymore. We have to operate from this place of this anticipation, not worry or hesitation. And if you're responding differently or, you know, maybe somebody, you're expecting somebody to respond in a particular way when you share something about God, we have to remember that people are hearing and understanding and being able to press forth in different ways due to their different stages of readiness that they are to hear God's word. Like they, you know, we always use the example of like, are you willing? You know, like when I'm working with women, I'm like, are they willing? Or are they just at a different stage of readiness right now? Because you can drag a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. the unbelief that most of the time we have, which is inhibiting us from being able to move forward, it binds us from the truth and it robs us of our hope that something can be different this time.
But we have to evaluate this, because are we having the same thought processes year after year after year, and we're self-sabotaging and we don't even know it? We don't even know that it's really our thoughts that are guiding every single behavior that we have. I talk about this all the time, but the minute that this clicks into place and that we can understand the importance and the relevance to every single area of our life, the better we are for it. And so I want to kind of transition this into a part two of this story, which is I came across a video from a girl that I follow on social media, and it was like her dream came true. What she had been working towards, something that was on her goal poster, on her vision board, something that she had been thinking about and working towards for years, it happened. She was posting the video. She was posting the end of the story, the highlight reel, you could call it. But it hit different, because I've been connected and following this girl for over 10 years now, and I've seen how hard she works. And I've seen what she's had to overcome to get to this point. And I've seen her grow and change and evolve and handle situations differently and make mistakes and get back up and try again and get criticized and not care about looking stupid. She's out there doing the thing. And the bottom line is, a lot of times we're just not. We're not willing to fail enough times. We're not willing to get criticized enough. We're not willing to do all those things, but we want the fruit. We want the end result. We want to win. We want to succeed, but we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to do it like she does. We want to just pretend that it's easier, that somehow it's not meant to be because it's not easy for us, and it would just fall into place like this magical thing. And nowhere biblically does it say that that is a thing. And nowhere does that align, where God says, yeah, just do the bare minimum, or just kind of keep showing up while it's easy or convenient, and we're going to make sure it happens for you. So I was thinking, why do we get so emotionally attached? You know, I found myself emotional. I found myself almost on the verge of tears watching this dream realized. I remember even there was a girl that I followed that was on Dancing with the Stars, and it had always been her dream to be on Dancing with the Stars, and she'd worked so hard to get there. And it was there. It was the moment. It was the Dancing with the Stars moment for her, where she would do her first dance. And not only that, but I was watching that, and then she would go on to win the Dancing with the Stars competition. And she had talked about it so many times. She had rehearsed it so many times in her brain, brought it kind of to fruition, because it was what she had prayed and worked so hard to get to. And you had same thing. You had seen the entire journey. You felt like you were a part of the journey, because they didn't leave anything out. And honestly, maybe they did leave some stuff out. Maybe they did leave out some major hardships that they didn't even post publicly. But what they did, what they were vulnerable about in those moments, made me feel like I was a part of their journey. Made me feel like I was watching as a part of their story and a part of their movie. And that inspired me. And it made me realize, this is why we get emotional. This is why when we see someone with their dream realized, or their dream met, and their mission fulfilled, that we are so encouraged, because there's a part of us that deeply and innately believes and knows deep down that we could be capable of doing the same thing. It reminds us of either what we're not doing. It reminds us of what could potentially be possible. So you have to remember that if you have just as much belief that you could fail, that means that you equally deep down have just as much belief that you could succeed. And we have to hold on to that. We have to keep that in front of us at all times, because success is not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be all butterflies. It's not going to be without zero criticism. It's not going to be without falling down and getting back up a million times. But you're the woman for the job. Because if God calls you to it, He'll use you and build your character through it. Believe me when I tell you that the person that you are becoming, the person that God is specifically working on, that He's taking all this time to prune, to rid yourself of relationships and bad habits and things of your past, only He can define you. Only He can define you. None of your past mistakes, none of your shame, none of the things that the enemy loves to bring to mind to torture you. Those past mistakes, those things don't define you, but God does. He has the only say. So we need to start operating from that level of belief and expectancy, and not one where we want to be agreeable with a worldly perspective. So that is my challenge for you today. My challenge is for you to make one more call, to go to one more appointment, to get back up and do it again, to look silly in pursuit of your goal, in pursuit of your dream, to forgive someone even when they don't deserve it, to show up with integrity even when it's harder or more inconvenient, or maybe nobody will even notice. But that's not why you're doing it. You show up and you do it because that's who God calls you to be. If your prayers have been what we could refer to as weak sauce, it's time to start praying in a totally radically different way if we want to get radically different results. It's time to come fully surrendered and be honest with God about where you're at. To be honest with him and to tell him the hard things. Are you mad at him? Are you frustrated? What is it that you need? Be very bold, be very transparent with him as if he's your best friend that you're talking to, the person who you tell everything to. That should be what he is to you as we're growing. And it doesn't happen overnight, but I'm telling you, one day you'll just look and be like, gosh, he just knows me so well. So here are three things that can power up your prayer time, that change the way that you can pray. One, you can come to God with a specific intention. You can say, God, this is what I'm struggling with today. I'm struggling to get out of bed, God. I'm struggling to keep going. I'm struggling to do one more thing in my business because it just feels like everything is failing that I try, or it just feels like nobody's saying yes to me, or it just feels like I keep making the same mistakes over and over again. But God, this is what I need today. Would you infuse me with your energy, Lord? Would you infuse me with excitement? Would you infuse me with hope today that only you can? Will you show me specific places in your word as to what I should do in the situation that I'm in right now? God, who in your word, which one of your disciples, Lord, give me a name, give me a story that I can refer to get the strategy that I need in this stage of my life, in this journey that I'm on, that you have me on, Lord, in this hard, messy middle that I'm in. Two, an extension of that is ask the right questions. God, what do you have for me to learn today? God, what are you calling me to do today? How are you asking me to be obedient to you today? Three, increase the frequency of your prayers, the amount of time, dramatically increasing the amount of time that you pray, the time that you take to talk to God. Can you just take moments of your day, any problem that you're having, any issue that you're having, any praise that you have for him? Can you just actually speak that out in your head on a daily basis in those moments and say, thank you, God. Thank you for helping me in this situation. Thanks for giving me the words. God, thanks for clearing up the situation for me. Can you praise him in the midst of your hard moment and praise him in advance that he's already working out the solutions? God, thank you for working on this on my behalf. Thank you for working on the solutions for me. Thank you for giving me solutions to this problem that I'm in right now. God, I am expecting you to answer me. I thank you in advance for showing up to answer me, to give me your guidance and give me your wisdom. Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. Those are three ways that we can power pack that time. It's got to be consistent. And that's something that I didn't even talk about in this, but it's got to be consistent. You have to increase the frequency of time because that's how a relationship is built, isn't it? You know, I had someone ask me, I had my chiropractor ask me recently, you know, do you read the Bible every day? And I said, yeah, I do actually multiple times a day. And he's like, wow. And he's like, how do you decide like what you're going to read and how you're going to read and for how much time you're going to read? Like, you know a lot about this. And I simply was able to tell him, like, it didn't start that way. It started with just increasing my desire to want to know more, to want to build the relationship, to want to increase that frequency in which I was hearing God's voice. I wanted to be in line with his truth so that when I'm out in the world, I don't get distracted or confused because I know exactly what the word says. I know what's in the Bible, and I can only follow it and catch contradictions in the world when I know the word like the back of my hand. And so how do I do that? It's a process. It's spending that consistent time and asking God, you know, having that prayer time. I have at the same time every morning. I wake up at the same time, no matter what time I went to bed. I'm always waking up at 6:15 in the morning to pray. And on some of those days, I'm getting a little bit of time. And some of those days, I'm getting a lot of time. It just depends on when my son wakes up. It's not easy. It's not convenient. I'm exhausted. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm not a morning person. But you know what? Waking up and setting that time aside for myself to get grounded, to hear from him, it's the only quiet time of day that I'm going to get. And it energizes me. It energizes me. It keeps me going. It gives me clarity. It helps set up my day. And I had said this to my chiropractor. I said, you know, one of the things when you're so busy, it's like if I have a busy situation or even more craziness in my day going on, I actually need more time to pray. I actually need more time to come before God and to get my strategy for the day. Not less time because I'm busy. So I really try to not get into those places of thinking that the enemy wants me to be in where you just don't have time. You don't have time today. I try to go completely countercultural because I know that the enemy wants me weak. Because when I'm weak, he can attack me. When I'm weak, I don't see him coming. When I'm weak, I fall for the same things I always fall for. When I'm weak and I don't know God's word and I feel far from him is when I get in the most trouble. I don't want to default respond into my old bad habits, into the old ways of Justine. And the only way that I know how to not do that and that I'm telling you that you're not going to do that and continue to do that over and over again. And God is not the one who brings us shame and regret and guilt in those situations, but more of a gentle conviction and a gentle loving and nudging. Like, I have more for you. I've called you to more. You're better than this. And we have to surrender to that and start leaning to that.
So I hope with that today, you can speak boldness, that you can believe that nothing is impossible or too hard for you because the person who supplies all holds dominion over everything in your life. Lord, help me to operate in my expectations, not my experiences, not my past, but help me to just visually keep my vision and my focus tunnel visioned on you and where I'm going. I hope you guys have a great week.
so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved it, would you share it with a friend or share it on social and tag me at Courage Queen Pod so I can personally thank you. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to Courage Queen Podcast wherever you listen, and make sure to leave that 5-star review. Did you know we have a fabulous and free community for our listeners where we share all the juicy details for women who are ready to take action towards their dreams? Click the link in the show notes to learn more. As always, thanks for being here. Courage starts with showing up. And if you ask me, it's time to step into your dreams with faith-filled peace and confidence.